C3 AI software allows you to develop AI applications with less code, less resources, and less maintenance. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, January 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For many Americans who've had money to invest, the stock market has been the only game in town. But while that heavy exposure to stocks can produce sweet returns in good times, the recent sharp sell-offs are a reminder of the risks that go with it. And that kind of volatility can put older Americans in or near retirement in a tight spot.
Some people have maybe lost some of the fear that they might otherwise have of stock market declines because they feel that they've been rewarded for riding them out in the past. The problem is that as you get older, you have less time for your portfolio to recover, and there's no guarantee that stocks are going to recover quickly.
On today's show, our retirement reporter Ann Turgeson will be here to discuss how financial planners say older Americans should allocate their investments and how to determine how much risk your portfolio can handle. That's after the break.
C3 AI Enterprise AI software supercharges your supply chain installation, making it fully predictive. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The recent sharp declines in the stock market have caused many Americans to hit the sell button to limit their losses and reduce their investment in riskier assets. But many Americans, and older Americans like the baby boomer generation in particular, remain heavily invested in stocks, and that could cost them. WSJ retirement reporter Ann Turgeson has been talking with financial professionals about this, and she joins me now. Ann, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
So, Ann, let's get a sense of where things stand right now. What do the numbers tell us about how much money older Americans have invested in stocks?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. Fidelity's looking at among its 20 million 401k investors. It shows that about 40% of people who are in their 60s hold, you know, approximately 70% or more of their 401k money in stocks. And some numbers from Vanguard show that for people who are between 65 and 74, nearly 20% have almost 100% in stocks. So these are people who have portfolios that are considered, you know, sort of more aggressive than these companies might recommend.
Yeah, so how does that compare with what financial planners say that baby boomers' investment allocation should look like?
You know, it's really hard to say. You know, I mean, everybody has sort of their own individual situation. And so it's hard to give like a number that everybody in a certain age group should have. But financial advisors say that, you know, as people get older, the general accepted kind of conventional wisdom is that as people get older, they should be reducing the percentage that they hold in stocks and increasing the percentage that they hold in bonds. You know, the goal is to have a diversified portfolio. And then over time, the idea is to take money out of your stock allocation so that you're less at risk or you're less vulnerable if a bear market comes along.
So why is this generation invested so heavily into stocks?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. You know, I think the long bull market explains a lot. I mean, for a lot of baby boomers, you know, they may have started investing in the 70s or the 80s. And the 80s is when we saw the bull market in stocks kind of date back to. So a lot of baby boomers sort of came of age in an era in which stocks, you know, generally provided pretty positive returns. A lot of baby boomers also started investing in 401ks before the advent of target date funds, which are sort of intended to sort of do the work for you. And those are portfolios of stocks and bonds, and they automatically become more conservative and move money from stocks into bonds as you get older. But a lot of baby boomers started investing. Sort of entered the 401k plan before those target date funds were popular. So a lot of baby boomers have sort of done their own investing. They're in charge of their own portfolios, and you know, they're very comfortable with stocks. A lot of readers contacted me and said, yes, this is exactly what's happened with me. Not only have they ridden these, you know, long bull markets, maybe they haven't adjusted their portfolios. So as stocks have gone up in value over time, their portfolios have sort of drifted into a more heavy allocation of stocks, but they've also, in taxable accounts, they have huge capital gains. So there's a reluctance to sell because you're going to, not only are you selling, you know, your winners, which people have a reluctance to do, but they're going to be triggering tax bills when they do that.
Now, you mentioned a lot of seniors are in charge of their own investments. You'd think they'd have a financial advisor or a retirement specialist to help them map out an investment plan.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do, you know, and so this is sort of a generalization. And this is, you know, looking at data from Vanguard and Fidelity, where they're looking at single accounts. So Fidelity can say that among, you know, its 401k investors, 40% of those in their 60s have more aggressive allocations to stocks than Fidelity would recommend. But Fidelity, you know, they don't know whether these people have other accounts. And so it's possible that a lot of these people do have other accounts that, you know, and that maybe they're in aggregate, they're not as aggressively allocated as this data might indicate. It's almost impossible to know how people are aggregated in total. But I think this does get at, you know, a comfort level with stocks that a lot of baby boomers have. The other factor being that, you know, in an era when bond yields have been very low, a lot of people who are in retirement, you know, look to bond yields to generate retirement income for them. But with yields so low, that's not really possible. So I think a lot of people haven't felt as comfortable investing in bonds as maybe they would have, or earlier generations of retirees would have.
And you know, seniors and the baby boomers have been through several stock market declines before. Are they maybe less intimidated by it than other generations?
Oh, yeah, that is a factor in that, you know, we've seen a couple of bear markets, one in the early 2000s, the tech bubble crash. We've seen the 2008 financial crisis, and we've seen the coronavirus decline in 2020. And in all three of those cases, obviously there were big downturns, but stocks recovered within a couple years in some of those cases. And in 2020, stocks recovered very quickly. So I think some people have maybe lost some of the fear that they might otherwise have of stock market declines because they feel that they've been rewarded for riding them out in the past. The problem is that as you get older, you have less time for your portfolio to recover, and there's no guarantee that stocks are going to recover quickly. So that's the other risk that maybe people are discounting a little bit.
So speaking of risk, we hear about investors in recent weeks pulling back on risk. But how can everyday investors determine how much risk their portfolio can handle?
Everyday investors, I think there are maybe two things that they can consider. The first thing is how much risk can they afford to take? So a financial advisor I spoke to gave the example of a 65-year-old who only spends about $20,000 from $1 million portfolio annually versus a 65-year-old who spends about $50,000 annually from $1 million portfolio. So, you know, the example there shows that the person who spends the $20,000, the smaller amount, can afford to invest more in stocks because they can afford to lose more and not have their income affected. So that's one thing you need to consider is how heavily are you relying on this portfolio to provide the income that you need? And the more you're taking out of that portfolio and the more you rely on it as you get above like a 4% kind of drawdown, that's when your ability to afford investing a high proportion in stocks is probably less than if you have a very small income as a percentage, like say less than 3% as a drawdown. So that's one factor to consider. The other factor to consider is, you know, just generally your comfort level with stocks. I think the financial advisor I spoke to, you know, pointed out that, you know, once or twice in a generation, we'll see stocks sell off at a, you know, very high level, like maybe at a 50% decline. And so you need to think about, you know, if you have half your money in stocks and overnight, you know, there's a bear market, you might lose about half of that. So you need to think about how that would make you feel. And if it's going to make you, you know, worry about your ability to make ends meet, or if it's going to make you panic so much that you're going to sell all of your money in stocks and sort of do the thing that people say never to do, which is to sell at the bottom, then you might want to invest less in stocks.
Okay, so if someone realizes they should reduce their investment in stocks, Where do financial advisors say they should begin?
So if you're going to be selling to get to some lower allocation in stocks, then you need to think about taxes. So, you know, if you've got a taxable account and you want to sell stocks, you're going to be paying capital gains taxes there. So you might be better off actually making the adjustment in your IRA or your 401k, because their taxes are deferred until you withdraw the money.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal retirement reporter Ann Turgeson. Ann, it's been great having you with us.
Thanks.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
C3 AI Enterprise AI software supercharges your supply chain installation, making it fully predictive. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.